I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I have the pleasure today of talking with comic book artist and illustrator Gina Curlew. Gina, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Glad you could come in today. I am a fan of your work, and I wanted to ask you about the sense of play that's in your work. There seems to be a lighthearted energy that mm-hmm. permeates your work. Talk about that.
I think it's my personality just coming through. I never really realized that, but, you know, my personality is, I guess, colorful and childlike. I love comics and just laughter and just that idea of the world being musical. That's me.
And also there's a sense of smart aleckiness in your work. You're a bit of a wisecracker with how you see the world. Talk about that, too.
Yes, I agree. I've been known to be a, smart aleck, I guess. In high school, I was voted class clown for the girls. So, yay. I have a sense of humor. I don't necessarily think I'm funny, but I love trying my best to be funny.
So when it comes to your work in comics, how does that translate into that space for you?
Humor.
The humor, the storytelling, how does that permeate? I guess more so the storytelling than the visual aspect.
Yeah, I think humor is just one of the best ways to bring people in to story and also just, lighten the mood. You know, some of the things I want to discuss can be really dramatic or tragic. And, you know, comedy is always there as a way to kind of help people deal with something.
So, Gina, when it comes to the process of what you do, because I know after taking a class that you taught about indie comics, that there's a really involved and intricate process as it relates to the art of making comics. So can you talk about the stages, just for people who don't know what those stages are when it comes to creating the work?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to break it down into four simple stages for everyone. And that was, you know, the writing. You want a strong story. And, of course, the drawing. That can be simple. It can be extremely detailed. But, you know, just having a visual there. I did inking, bringing the drawings to life. And then there's color that really can bring the drawings to life. And, you know, it kind of sets a mood as well.
I want to focus on the story part of it as mm-hmm. well as the inking, the first and, I guess, the last parts of that. I realized that in that class, so much of what really makes comics work is the storyline, the writing. The drawing can be subpar, if you will, or even crappy, to be honest. But if the storyline is great, that can keep people engaged.
Totally agreed. I always make a point of that. And it's one thing I learned in school, and I've just learned it in life. Story, story, story. It's all about the story. If you have a great story, nobody really cares about what it looks like. It helps when it looks flashy, but nobody wants to, you know, read a flashy, beautiful, beautifully drawn comic and it makes no sense. It just, you'll lose your interest that way. So, you know, I always say story. It doesn't matter what your drawings look like. Start with that first.
And on the other end of that, at the end of that process, the coloring, what does that bring to the drawings? I mean, I know we can, most of us can agree that the color is important, but mm-hmm. what types of decisions have to be made when it comes to the coloring to help advance the story or make the story what it is?
So I don't necessarily think you have to color, because there's a lot of strong work out there that is just in black and white. But color can help tell a story, just like in film where, you know, they'll put certain shades of colors over certain scenes just to help it feel a certain way. You know, you can have warm colors and cool colors, and that I believe it's like a subtle way of telling the reader how to feel. You know, they're all just tools. So that, I think that's why, you know, color can play such an important role.
What do you read? Or even better yet, what comics or writers influenced you and sort of helped you get into this field?
Okay. The story that I think probably just, you know, kind of made me say, I have to do this is, well, there's a few, actually. Craig Thompson, he wrote Blankets. It's just a beautiful autobiographical graphic novel and just beautifully drawn. The story's great, and I think that's one of those opening things for me. Another one is called Mouse by Art Spiegelman, I believe, and it is, you know, two graphic novels, and that took place in, I want to say, the Holocaust. It was him interviewing his father. Amazing. And also, I read a comic online called Questionable Content. It's, you know, very popular, and it's just inspirational for anybody who wants to do webcomics.
It seems like we're in a space in our society where the graphic novel has regained some prominence because of, I guess, the Hollywood treatment and just the internet being a way to pass along more information. So talk about how the graphic novel has sort of made a comeback these days.
Okay, well, I believe people, and I think this will always be the case, we like having something physical. It's just like music, you know, everybody talks about. We all love the accessibility that the internet provides. You know, everything's right there at your fingertips and it feels good. But at the same time, when you love something and you connect to something, you'll still go out and buy like a hard copy. There are people who are, you know, they are so passionate about getting vinyls or whatever. So I think it's the same for, you know, any industry, especially comics. You know, we still want to have that paper in our hands, that feeling, everything, you know, that tactile and the touch, just everything, the smell of new paper, whatever it is, the glossiness, it just, you connect to that and it's awesome.
I would love for you to differentiate indie comics versus the, I guess, traditional comics of Marvel Comics or DC Comics.
Yeah.
And what about indie comics drew you in?
I've always been, I guess, a cartoonist at heart. When I was younger, I just, that's what I knew, that's what I drew. I find that people who are lovers of superhero comics were people who grew up with that. That's what fascinated them, and they drew that. So I think anything that is just little quirky has always piqued my interest. And, you know, I'm in love with a certain type of style, and it's just, it's more, it feels to me a little more regular life, I guess. And I think that's what appeals to me most. So, and oh, you wanted the difference between, it's a hard thing to kind of define, because you can do superhero and it can be considered indie. So indie is an independent comic, and or indie comics are independent comics. And that's anything that's independent that you're doing by yourself and not necessarily under a big, you know, name. But
so is it, is it,
sorry.
No. So is it more or less the end of, I mean, not to overuse mm-hmm. the word independent, but is it more or less the team of people who are doing things outside of the major comic houses? Is anything beyond or outside of that independent, or is it more of a size thing? Like if you're a small outfit doing your own in-house stuff, or for the most part in-house stuff, versus a Marvel Comics? Like, I guess where's that line, if there is one?
I think that's where it kind of becomes a little gray, and that's where it becomes difficult to define, because anybody can have their own personal take on it. For me, I'll just use the term indie comics. You know, that's anything non-superhero. But you know, the line is really, if you look it up on, say, Wikipedia, the line is necessarily, it's drawn where it says anything that's not, yeah, the bigger companies, the mainstream, it's everything else. So it can be a little difficult to draw a line, but, you know, you get an understanding that indie is anything that's, it's other. So anything that's not the mainstream, we'll stick to that.
Okay, anything that's not the mainstream, per Gina Curley. So talk about your webcomic. I want to hear about that.
Okay, so I'm in the midst of working on my webcomic, and it is a process. It's a webcomic that I would like to actually, I'm doing in such a way that it can be a graphic novel as well. That's the end result. But it's a story about identity.
And speaking about identity, you are... or you identify as a Jamaican. You are from
Brooklyn. Jamaican.
Jamaican, but overused term.
Yeah.
So you were born in Brooklyn, but your parents are from Jamaica, and you self-identify as a Jamaican.
Yes.
And I would love for you to give your perspective on your career path as it relates to your identity and being able to be an example for Jamaica in this space.
Yeah. I've just observed that, you know, in Jamaica, there are a lot of talented people, but, you know, it's a third world country, and a lot of times people are pushed into fields that are going to be the most profitable. And, you know, one might not consider comics. I mean, it's like, what? So, I mean, even here, you get the same issue. But definitely there. And I think arts are just not as strong. So for me, I just always have this vision of wanting to be an example of someone who's saying, no, I'm going to make this happen and show, you know, those people in Jamaica who are passionate about the arts that they can do the same thing. You know, there is a way. There's always a way. And if we bring that kind of art community to Jamaica, it can be a hotspot, you know. Potential's there.
Does the work or does the content of your webcomic speak to Jamaica in that way, in a way that you're wanting them to see something different?
Definitely. I could be wrong if somebody can, you know, find a link and send it to me, but I have not really seen Jamaica represented in the way that I, you know, intend to. You know, there's that culture that I'm going to put so much culture rich, you know, aspects in there that I think will really speak to us. You know, we don't really get to see ourselves in a comic. That's just I haven't seen it, and I would have loved to growing up.
What else inspires you?
Oh, I'm inspired by so much because I studied animation, so I'm definitely inspired by anybody who takes that path. And, you know, they're just amazing artists who, animators, just amazing. And I studied graphic design as well. So just design is just another level of inspiration for me. I'm just constantly collecting imagery that, you know, maybe it's not something I would personally do, but it's just something that spoke to me. And, you know, I take a lot of different inspiration from a lot of different things. You know, it could be in any medium, really.
Gina Curlew, comic book artist and illustrator. Let everyone know how they can get in contact with you and find out more about your work.
Okay, so you can find my website. It's www.ginacurlew.com, and my name is spelt GINAKIRLEW. Okay, and then also really simple email address, Gina@ginacurlew.com. And yes, I do answer emails, so feel free to shoot me an email anytime.
My favorite thing about your website, aside from the art, is the Gina Curlew facts. I think everyone that I've sent your link to likes the Gina Curlew facts, because it's in the style of the back of the package.
And nutritional facts. Yeah.
Facts. Yes.
On
love
food.
That. Yes. I love that. Gina Curlew, comic book artist Thank you.
Thank you.